June 5th, 2018, a few minutes after 10 in the a.m. Feels kind of summery outside, so what does that mean? It's not howdy doody time. It is time for mid-morning coffee break with Adam, and that would be I. Again, probably sounding a little more mature since I'm a year older than I was last time we got together, but that's okay. I don't get older, I get better, which means I must really be good by now. Giggling in the background is our guest who joins us frequently on this show, Dr. Ron Feinman. And when he's with us, we oftentimes call this show a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam. You know, one thing about you, Ron, is you're very reliable. I can always find you. I guess you went to a concert featuring a person with much more musical talent than myself, but you are back in your domicile in Boca Raton, Florida, where Boca Raton means rat or some other cute animal that might be hovering around. But we managed to have to find you. You know, to find.
Yes, I wanted to say Boca Raton stands for mouth of the rat, if it was in English. You know, it's Spanish, so it sounds good, but it means mouth of the rat.
That's okay. Rats, you know, rats are sort of cute. The song Ben by Michael Jackson is about a rat, and, you know, they're good food for your pet snake, and they're actually very intelligent. Sometimes I get...
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you very much for inviting me again.
It is a
pleasure. And mention I saw Harry Connick Jr. on Sunday night at a concert, so because you brought up the idea I was at a concert, I think I let the audience know who I saw. He's fantastic.
So how was the Connick concert? Was it good?
It was great. You know, it's great jazz, and he's very talented, and he did some tap dancing also. He plays a number of different instruments besides the singing, and he's very charming. He was on American Idol, I remember, a couple of years ago, and I thought he was really a charming person to be on that show. He's really a very charismatic guy.
Well, that's good to hear. Anyway, as I was mentioning, you've been located at your home there in Boca Raton, mouth of the rat in the Sunshine State, but we've not had the same kind of fortunes with the lovely First Lady, Melania Trump. She seems to be missing. Now, she does tweet. Of course, we're not quite sure where she is. Do you think she's just overly excited by being First Lady that she's gone into hiding? Or what do you think's going on with this lady?
I have no idea, but I think it's something we have a right to know. She's not just anyone. She's the First Lady. And there's rumors going around, which are disgusting. But I am concerned for her because she's a decent lady and she deserves better than she's being treated, I'm sure, by her husband.
Yeah, we both like Melania. You know, her job is not easy. And their son, Barron, I don't think he likes the spotlight at all. And got a feel for the
Barron
kid.
Barron has not been mentioned at all. I mean, he's supposed to be in school still, at least the last few weeks. Maybe not now in June, but in May. So I wonder what's going on there. I think since he's in D.C., probably he's still supposed to be in school, but nobody's talked about him. So I don't know what's going on with him either.
Yeah, kind of mysterious. So not quite sure where Melania is. Maybe you saw this meme on Facebook, Ron, side of a milk carton saying wanted $130,000 reward with a picture of Melania. So I don't know if there's a reward or not, but like to kind of know where she is. Earlier in the month, we had a big golf tournament in Columbus, the Memorial. I don't think Donald was there, though. So he did skip the Memorial tournament, but he is a golfing aficionado. But again, Melania, not sure, but we'll have to readdress that. I was just kind of wondering, maybe you knew, because you know so much about presidents and first ladies and children of presidents, and I guess even you're a bit stumped by the missing Melania.
Well, I just think it's disturbing that there was a tweet, supposedly, that she gave. It sounded like it was her husband's tweet under her name. So I don't think it was really her tweet, but she hardly ever makes a nasty comment. But she made somewhat of a nasty comment, but I don't think it's her. So I really am wondering what's going on, and I really think the Secret Service has a responsibility to let us know what's going on with her and not leave it to the president, because I'm starting to wonder if there's some harm done to her. I don't know. I hope not, but there's rumors going around about
that. Not at all. I mean, I do like her. Her job is not easy. I don't think she wants to be First Lady. Now, of course, when you marry Donald Trump, you're going to be in the spotlight. I'm sure she understood that. She's not stupid. She speaks multiple languages. She's a very smart lady, but she might not have spent enough time thinking about what she might be getting into by becoming Mrs. Trump. And there's also something my mama always said, which is be careful what you wish for. And by becoming a person of this position, very visible in the public eye, of course, in social media and in gossip circles. People will be talking, but bottom line is I certainly hope she's okay. You think, Ron, that these tweets from the First Lady, this at FLOTUS, F-L-O-T-U-S, are actually from Donald Trump, not really from Melania?
Well, that seems to be the case because of the way it's worded. It's the way he does his tweets, so I don't know. It's just amazing how this man gets away with everything, you know, and nobody holds him accountable. A lot of people just don't want to hold him accountable, and it's getting to the point. It's a constitutional crisis is upon us now, based on what he had to say yesterday on Monday when he tweeted that he had a right to pardon himself, but of course he's not going to pardon himself because he didn't do anything wrong. What a strange thing to say. And to also claim that he can end the investigation anytime he wants by Robert Mueller, and also that he can refuse to obey a subpoena. And basically he's saying that whatever he says or does is the law. And that's not our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And this is something that I wrote yesterday. The die is cast. Trump says he can end investigations, reject subpoenas, and pardon himself. Time to move toward impeachment or lose our republic. We're not joking anymore. This is very serious. The man is going crazy, and the kind of behavior he's showing, including the tariff issue now, alienating our allies, so many other issues. And, you know, every day is a new insult and a new concern, and now we have to worry about his wife, too.
So multiple twists, and I guess we'll talk sometime in the future and more than likely have more information to share and more points to ponder in this presidential and political world that we are surrounded by here in 2018. So, Ron, you have a blog which you publish and many people, including myself, read religiously, and it's called theprogressiveprofessor.com. And you've had some very interesting and certainly controversial brain cell stimulating blogs of late. Let's start with the one from yesterday. We talked on a previous show a few months ago about Donald Trump self-pardoning. Can you pardon yourself? And I didn't know if that was possible, and we kind of talked about it as don't recall this ever being something that was considered. We often talk about Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon. Nixon resigned before he could pardon himself. He said he wasn't a crook, and then he left office.
It was said at the time that he could not pardon himself. That's what Nixon was told. And actually, when you pardon yourself, you're admitting your guilt. If you're guilty, you know, a person gets a pardon as a person who's guilty and admits his mistakes, admits his crimes, and it cannot happen. He cannot pardon himself, and that a number of people, including some Republicans, have said that would lead to impeachment. I'm not so sure it would be that quick, but it's a crazy idea. You cannot pardon yourself.
But the scenario where he would be like Richard Nixon, where he could resign, and then presumably with Mr. Pence becoming president, Pence would pardon Donald Trump. But Donald Trump wants to jump the gun a bit and pardon himself. You wrote that Donald Trump has now declared that he is above the law and that he can do what he wants with his executive authority. Now, when I went to school, Ron, I don't have a PhD in American history and presidentology like you do, but I was under the understanding that presidents, any politician, anybody who is larger than life, celebrities, professional athletes, they have to follow the law just like you and I.
Correct.
And there have been examples of that recently where celebrities, people that have been almost worshipped, have found that they are not above the law. Let's look at Mr. Cosby, for example. He may be going to prison for some very serious indiscretions. And this is the same guy that 20 or 30 years ago was a hero to a lot of people. He went to the same college as my mom. He was a few years ahead. I believe he was a senior when my mom was a freshman. So, I mean, Bill Cosby, you talk about an American hero and man of many talents, but he's not above the law, let alone Roseanne. We could spend a whole week of shows talking about her, so we may just pass on that for the time being. And, of course, athletes who have found themselves in trouble, whether they've used steroids and they have to testify like Barry Bonds or their O.J. Simpson, where they end up going to prison. And they get sued in a civil case. So you talk about O.J. Simpson, a broadcaster, you know, as a broadcaster myself, I thought he was a great football play-by-play guy and commentator. But he's not above the law. Bottom line is neither is the president of the United States. But Does Donald Trump think that he doesn't have to follow the law, that he, at this time, is just king, and he can do what he wants, that he doesn't have to follow any laws whatsoever? What is his logic behind this?
There is no logic, but remember, he was saying how he wished he could be like the Chinese president who has become president for life. He would love to be that, but that is not allowed under our Constitution. It is not part of our history, and it's damaging to the whole concept of the rule of law. So he's got to be stopped. He's got to be stopped, because if he's not stopped, we could have a totalitarian dictatorship, and that would lead to, I'm sure, tremendous uproar and probably a lot of rioting and much more. I'm sure it would have bloodshed and violence, and I think the man is very dangerous, and he needs to be removed now.
Now, you wrote in your blog from Monday, he has stated that he can reject a subpoena to testify from the special counsel and refuse to cooperate, that he can fire Mueller and anyone else when he decides to do so. Now, that isn't true because he can't fire his vice president. We've talked about that in the past.
So that's the one person he cannot. That's true.
But the issue of firing Mueller, I think the general consensus is that if he does that, he's asking for an impeachment.
But only if the Republicans in control at the moment are willing to do so, and they still control the agenda. That's the problem. Hopefully after November, or starting in January, I should say, of 2019, that situation will change, but there's no certainty of it.
So it remains an item that will evolve. And we shall see.
Yeah, I've noticed that some people are starting to advocate the 25th Amendment again. But again, to do that, the vice president would have to decide to jump ship and work with the majority of the cabinet to make himself acting president and replace Trump. And I don't think Mike Pence would do that. It seems clear. I once thought he might, like a year ago, but I think he's shown that he has no guts, no cojones, a Spanish word, which means something else. But I think most people know. I don't think he has any cojones, C-H-A-O-N-E-S. And I think he's unlikely to do that, but he really should take action, because the man is out of control, and I think he needs to take over. Although I have to say, I'm not thrilled about Mike Pence taking over. He's got plenty of shortcomings as well, so it's very problematical.
We're speaking with official WWGH radio presidentologist, American history, political expert, Dr. Ron Fineman, from his home in southeastern Florida. And we talked about the First Lady earlier, and she's missing, but maybe she's listening. So if she is, well, hi, Melania. Hope you're doing okay. Thank you for listening. Mike Pence. Do you think that Mike Pence and Donald Trump get along? When they meet, do you think it's a heated discussion, or do you think Mike Pence is just Donald Trump's yes man? What do you think goes on when these guys communicate?
I have to say, the old joke is, I wish I was a fly on the wall and could watch and see what's going on. I would have thought that he would have challenged him, but I have a feeling he just keeps quiet, it seems, but I don't know whether we'll ever know. Maybe one day we will. But I think he tends to be, if he disagrees, he does it in a very quiet way. And that is not doing his job, because this is not a typical president. And I think Mike Pence needs to think of what's good for the nation, not just what's good for himself or for Donald Trump. And I don't think he's doing that.
I guess it's kind of a mystery how they do get along. We often hear rumors. We heard rumors about Sarah Palin and John McCain not really being too fond of each other during the campaign. McCain maybe regretting his decision. And I would tend to agree that's probably what happened, because that wasn't a very good decision for a vice president. But with Pence and Trump, they're similar in some ways and not similar in others. I mean, Pence certainly is a guy who is a gentleman when he speaks. I'm not saying I agree with what he has to say. I agree with very little of what he has to say. But he does have good speaking skills, and he's an experienced politician. Whereas Donald Trump, you know, gotta kind of like the fact that he says what's on his mind, but he goes way too far. And when you are president, you are held to a certain standard. And that's certainly a big difference.
Yeah, I'd like to interject here that I'm sure Mike Pence is happy today at what the Supreme Court did yesterday on Monday in that case about whether the bakers had to bake that wedding cake for that gay couple. And I think it was Colorado, and the Supreme Court 7-2 said they did not. And that surprised me, because that included Stephen Breyer and Elena Kagan in the majority, with the five conservatives, and only Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor in opposition. And that really surprised me. So this is seen as a big step backward on gay rights.
The cake issue is interesting, Ron. You like to think that no business is forced to provide services to a customer that they don't like. I mean, it's their loss. They lose a customer. But on the other hand, you should be able to take your business where you want to take it. There really are two sides to that story, and it is an interesting argument.
Well, the problem with it is that another situation, they could say they don't want to serve a black person or a Jewish person because they're not because they're not white or Christian. I mean, it really is a slippery slope, but I think it's a big blunder by the Supreme Court. But this is the kind of Supreme Court we're going to have in the future. If anybody leaves the court now, it'll become more right-wing, because if Kennedy, who went with the majority this time when usually he's been on the side of gay rights, if Kennedy leaves, it's going to become more right-wing. If Sotomayor, she'll stay. But if Ruth Bader Ginsburg leaves, or Stephen Breyer, then they're around, they're past 80 or so. In the case of Ginsburg, 85, then we're going to have a much more right-wing court, and that's going to affect the future for the next generation or more, and that includes the circuit court judges that are lifetime appointments as well. So that's a real damaging part of what Trump has been able to do.
Ron, do you think there's a difference between, you talked about a restaurant, so a person whose demographic is not one that is liked by the wait staff or the owner. Is that different from someone walking into a bakery and making a special order for a cake? Isn't there a difference where when you special order a cake, if the bakery doesn't like you, and that's because of your demographic or whatever the reason might be, I mean, everybody has biases, but you want to treat people equally. Won't they not do a very good job if it's you're the kind of person that they don't like, versus when you go to a restaurant, you obviously should offer service to everybody without letting your biases get in the way. Is there a difference there, or want to set a precedent where anybody walking into a business or a special ordering something, again, like this cake, that they have to be treated equally and given the best possible service by the provider?
I think the latter, what you just said. I don't think one's religion, in this case Christianity, should be used as an excuse to not serve someone. To me, religion has nothing to do with commerce. It should not. And yet the Hobby Lobby case a few years ago did allow that. And so, I mean, again, this is the problem, that we have a big emphasis on religious freedom, in quotes, which means the ability to discriminate. But on the other hand, we have so many other cases where civil liberties is under attack all the time. So it's a double standard.
What about my thought that if the bakery isn't a gay-friendly business, or the kind of business where they say, we just like everybody, we just want to make the best cake we can and be a profitable business, if they're being forced to bake a cake for a same-sex couple or an interracial couple, a Jewish couple, whatever the demographic may be, one that is not consistent with their beliefs, won't they not do as good of a job as if the customers that come in are consistent with their demographic and their beliefs? And how do we stop that? How do we stop someone from saying, well, they didn't do a very good job on my cake because they don't like the kind of person that I am? Whereas they did a very good job on a different cake for people that they did find to be more appealing. How do we solve that issue?
Well, I guess if these people at this bakery shop were to decide to not do, quote, a good job, maybe maybe the couple would say, we don't want it, forget it, and it would be a way to get around it, but not to go to court and make it a case of religion. I just think they went too far. I understand people may not like certain kinds of people. Like, some people could say they don't like someone who walks in with tattoos all over his or her body, but you're still supposed to serve people, and, you have to deal with people who maybe don't look nice in the way you see them. What if a person is ugly, however you define ugly, and someone doesn't want to serve someone who's ugly? I mean, I don't think you have a right to discriminate in any of these cases. To me, it's business. It's not religion. And right. I know that's not what the
decided. No, I don't think it's a very Christian thing to do whatsoever. But when you have something that is special ordered, there will be an issue of quality. I mean, I can't make a cake for anybody. I could never. It would look horrible. It's just not a skill that I have. I have my skills, but baking cakes, I can assure you, is not one of them.
You have a lot of things you can't do very well. Like you can't do art like Dan Penelope.
No, I don't know too many.
And
people,
you can't sing like a cat. I'm just kidding with you.
but you talk about a restaurant. A restaurant saying, "Well, we don't want to serve you because you're a same-sex couple. You're black. you're interracial, you're Jewish, whatever. That is a little different from someone walking into a bakery and special ordering a cake, and they're paying for the artistry of the baker. And the baker's
Well, that seems to be what the majority of the court was saying. It's a very narrow case, they claimed. So they claim it has nothing to do with the broader concept. But I wonder whether it's going to be a big setback for gay rights.
But you can see where that logic comes in. And
yes,
I would certainly want to go to a business. When I special order something, a business that either likes everybody, and I think 99% of businesses do, or one that does specially cater to a certain group. But again, we'll be happy to serve anybody. And that is a little different than walking into a restaurant and getting obviously discriminated against. But you go into a bar, you'll see a sign that'll say, we reserve the right to refuse service to anybody. And that's generally meant to mean people that are very drunk or have caused a problem in the past that are on a list where they have been refused entrance permanently or maybe for 3 months for fighting or gambling or being underage or whatever the offense might be. But those kind of things have to be worded carefully. And you certainly can't refuse service to somebody because of his or her demographic. But it is a tricky topic. And
well, all court cases are tricky topics. The fact that it wasn't 5-4, though, it was 7-2, really gives it much more legitimacy, which I think worries gay rights activists, that it wasn't 5-4, it was 7-2. Two of the liberals, I guess you call them, Breyer and also Kagan, went along. So I think that was surprising.
But just more fodder for our discussions. I just see a difference in those two scenarios. And my concern is that if a business doesn't like my particular demographic, especially one that's producing an art form, and cakes are an art form, certainly, for a once-in-a-lifetime event. I want a business whose heart is in it, and we'll do the best possible job. But if you want to take...
Well, I can understand what you're saying, yes.
Right, and you want to take your business somewhere, you expect them to do the best possible job, but it is kind of subjective. And I agree, it's not a very Christian thing to do from the bakery standpoint. So I think there'll be more cases of this type is the bottom line. And we haven't really talked about this in the past, but I'm kind of looking at the different viewpoints and the fact that any private business has the right to refuse to serve a customer. But on the other hand, you can't refuse to serve a customer because of a prejudice. And that's where it becomes very touchy. And do you think there'll be more cases like this? I don't think this is an isolated incident whatsoever.
No, I'm sure there'll be more cases because the religious right wants to bring more cases, and I'm sure they will.
On the 3rd of June, you wrote a blog about the United States and Canada. Now, Canada is our closest ally. We share a large border with them and have always been best buds. And their Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, certainly is a politician of very differing beliefs and philosophies than the President of the United States of America.
Yeah, a lot of people would love Justin Trudeau to be our president.
Now, the gist of your blog, Ron, is that with President Trump, that relationship has been strained. Tell our listeners more about that, and what will be the lasting effects? What will be the scars of this issue? Because I'm very troubled. So I went to college almost walking distance from the Canadian border. We almost felt like we were in Canada sometimes. We'd go up there and get beer and go out to eat, tour the beautiful scenery. It upsets me that our relationship with this beautiful country to our north is strained, not to mention all the great music from Canada. I mean, the Canadian music was so big at my college and in my college radio station, Canadian bands like Rush, Bryan Adams, Triumph, Anne Murray, and so many of them had an influence in my earlier days in professional and college radio, and that combined with everything we love about Canada. Is that being strained in 2018, and what will be the lasting effects of that?
Yes, I want to point out that we have a boundary between the United States and Canada of 3,987 miles, and between Alaska, which of course is the 49th state in Canada, of 1,538 miles. And for 200 years, the first 50, while Britain still controlled Canada, and since 1867, since Canada has become independent, we've had peaceful relations, we've had no conflict at all, we've resolved all differences in the Rush-Bagot Agreement of 1817 and the Convention of 1818 and the Oregon Settlement, finally, of 1846, and that we've never had any problems. It's the most peaceful boundary in the world. We consider Canadians, even if they're French Canadians, but certainly those who are English, but even the French Canadians, as being just like us. We've always gotten along, always worked together in wartime. Canada's been a great neighbor, has fought alongside us in every war we've been involved in. And now over this tariff issue, we're creating a split along with also the European Union nations, the 28 nations, you know, in the European Union and also with Mexico. And meanwhile, we're flirting with dictators, including now Kim Jong-un, a little too much, it seems to me. It's strange how we're alienating our allies and our supporters, you know, that have made us what we are since the Second World War, the leader of the free world. And it's just insanity. It really is. And I totally am floored by what is happening. And the fact that Mike Pence was involved in creating this tariff issue with Canada by wanting a five-year window that it ends, and he had to renegotiate every 5 years. So Mike Pence doesn't look very good right now either, because he created extra troubles that did not need, or at least he stated it, whether it was Trump's ideas. It's just wrong. I just think it's a disgrace.
So you'd agree with me that a very friendly relationship with our neighbors to the north is important, but it's touchy because they have a rather liberal prime minister and we have a rather conservative president and even more so vice president. But we can still get along. We can still shake hands in the end. We've had many kinds of presidents and many kinds of prime ministers in Canada. I've never seen this as a problem before, Canada being our biggest trade partner, our biggest ally. Now, suddenly, it's heavily strained. And that does trouble me, again, sentimentally, because of my having lived up near the Canadian border and realizing what a great place Canada is.
And I've visited Canada. I've been to Montreal and Toronto. And, you know, to me, Canada is no different than the United States, except for the French Canadians. But that's an interesting part of what makes Canada special.
You've heard, Ron, about the Starbucks controversy. And Starbucks now saying you can just go into the store and hang out. You don't have to order anything. Apparently, yes. There was a Starbucks location where people that were of a demographic that the manager or the employee didn't find to be appealing, they were told to exit. And that caused a lot of controversy. It also related to people going to a coffee shop and just not ordering anything, using the Wi-Fi, what have you. And do they determine who can do that based upon race or other factors? Well, Starbucks announced that Howard Schultz is leaving, and he is executive chairman over at Starbucks. And this is news that occurred yesterday. It's a breaking story. He had a 36-year run at the company. In an interview with the New York Times, he acknowledged that he may consider a bid for the White House. Now, we've talked before, Ron, and again, just pick up the newspaper or go to your favorite news website. There seems to be some increasing racial tension and tension among different ethnicities in the Trump administration. And are these problems at Starbucks a big side effect of that? And how can we solve that? With all the Starbucks that we have, this is kind of troubling. And now their executive chairman, after 36 years of the company, is leaving.
Well, I want to point out, as far as Howard Schultz, he's 65 this year, so it's not unusual if someone decides to retire at that age. And if he did decide to run, I don't know what his odds would be of being nominated. I'm not thrilled, again, by an outside businessman who's never been in government running, and I think the Donald Trump story makes me have doubts. But if he did run, he'd be, of course, the first Jewish president, because he is Jewish, and he would be a liberal, so I like that. But I'm not sure I would prefer him over people who have been in government. I don't think so. And as far as the issue of who you serve, and, you know, even in a coffee shop, are we going to start having boundaries that if someone's African-American or Latino or gay or Jewish or whatever, that they're not going to be served or they're not going to be allowed to go in there, and while others can, without buying? It's it's really becoming more and more of a civil rights issue, that it's almost like we didn't have the civil rights laws of the 1960s. We're backtracking on so many of those, including the voting rights being backtracked on by the Supreme Court in 2013, making it harder for people of certain backgrounds to be able to register and vote. So it's very troubling that we're going backwards.
It does seem like we're hearing a lot more about racial tension between people of different demographics than we used to, and we are kind of going back.
A lot of white supremacist activities also. We get hearing more and more about that, yes.
So anyway, Howard Schultz said, "For some time now, I've been deeply concerned about our country, the growing division at home, and our standing in the world." He told CNN's Poppy Harlow that, "I intend to think about a range of options, and that could include public service, but I'm a long way from making any decisions about the future." He's a politically outspoken gentleman, rumored as a potential Democratic candidate, supported Hillary Clinton in 2016. He told Poppy Harlow last September, "On the other side, I think we've seen such vitriolic display of bigotry and hate and divisiveness, and that is not the leadership we need for the future of the country." He criticized President Trump last summer after Trump said that both sides were to blame for violence at a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Do you think Howard Schultz...
That was a disgraceful moment, yes.
You think he's just overwhelmed by the controversy? Or would a better idea be just to stay at Starbucks and try to use him as an example of inclusiveness for everybody? I guess it's kind of a difficult situation that he's in, and maybe just after 36 years, as you said, he's just kind of tired and wants to spend time with his family and consider a political career.
Well, again, his age is a factor, but also he did close down Starbucks for one day to promote the idea of better handling of customers and treating everybody equally. So he did take that gesture. But after all, he is in his mid-60s, so it's not as if he's leaving early. Many people do leave their businesses or their jobs by about the age of 65. So, but again, he's an interesting person, and I like that he tends to have similar views to what I have, but I'm still not sure I want a corporate leader to be our president. I think after what we've been through, I prefer to have someone who has years of experience in government as a senator, a governor, a mayor, or a congressman, or a cabinet member, or a military man.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation, and I guess we'll never be totally sure, but I certainly wish him well.
He's a decent man. That I'm glad about. If we're going to have somebody in the corporate world come in, let's have somebody who's got a more open mind and a more tolerant attitude, and I'm glad of that.
So we can talk a little bit about Roseanne. I know it's not something we want to dwell too much on. But
Do you want me to vomit?
Very big story. Very big story last week. And this was last Tuesday, and I'm not saying I necessarily agree with Roseanne as a person, but if I were not to watch everybody I didn't agree with as people, it would be really very little to watch. I really did like the show. I liked Roseanne and the other characters, and I admit I watched it, and I was looking forward to watching it at 8 o'clock in the evening last Tuesday, but it was canceled, as well as the reruns being canceled by other networks, and ABC canceling her reboot. It was very, very sudden. And then she said that Ambien caused her to make those comments.
And the Ambien company, the drug company said that is not a known side effect of the product to be racist.
Do you think that Roseanne was just trying to stir the pot? I mean, she kind of likes to do that. She likes to stir up controversy. Or is that really, really what she's like? Just all of a sudden, they just canceled it. And that tweet has really been something that she'll regret permanently. And then Sarah Gilbert, her co-star, played Darlene. She's really come out against what Roseanne said, and she's kind of ashamed of what happened. They're talking now about having a show with the same characters, but not Roseanne, maybe calling it Jackie or focusing on Sarah and her kids. So many different possibilities. But is this something that we're going to, and we talked about this in many different angles, Ron, today, and of course, and on previous shows. Are we going to be seeing more of this in the Trump era? Just more people that say things that they probably will regret later? And is it all just a part of this divisiveness that we seem to be experiencing more and more with Trump in the White House?
Well, we're having more polarization, so it's expressing itself in many different forms, and it's regrettable, but I think a lot of people are getting disgusted with people who just don't think and say things that are really disgraceful and prejudiced and biased. It's a tough issue because I do believe in freedom of speech. I definitely do. But on the other hand, while you have rights to your thoughts and opinions, it does not protect you from public denunciation and actions by corporations to decide to punish you and take away your career. So it's a double-edged sword like many issues.
Right. So we agree that freedom of speech is important. An actor, actress doesn't agree with us. And again, if I were to take every actor and actress whose beliefs I don't agree with, wouldn't be a lot of stuff to watch. But Roseanne went too far. There is a line to be drawn. That's the point we're making. She went way over the line of one day not necessarily agreeing with what we have to say, the next day saying something which was blatantly racist.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about Samantha Bee, though, the comedian who came out and used the C word about Ivanka Trump, because there were those saying she should be fired, but she has not been. It's just surprising, I guess, that a woman would use the C word when you usually think of men who are sexist using it. So that's another issue about some people see as a double standard. I'm not sure it really is, but I was stunned that she would use that word, Samantha Bee.
But it seems like we're seeing stuff about The View that people are taking many different shows and saying, well, these people say things that are comparable to what Roseanne said. Why aren't they being fired? Why aren't they being censured? And I mean, I guess we have a right to. But it seems like the thing with Roseanne is more severe. And sometimes it's free speech and sometimes it's something that is blatantly racist and blatantly inexcusable. To me, I see where she talked about the Ambien. I don't think you should blame a medication that people are pretty familiar with.
That's ridiculous, yes.
And yeah, it is a subject of a lot of comedy routines. You know, again, I giggle a bit when I talk about it, but it is serious. Ambien doesn't cause people to say that kind of stuff. And she did go over the line. And yes, we know it's Roseanne, and we know what we hear from her is going to be controversial. But this was.
Well, she went over the line years ago when she sang the national anthem in a disgraceful manner, and yet she survived that all these years.
But this goes beyond that because she said some things that were out of hand. And
not only that, she was making fun of Valerie Jarrett, the aide to Obama. And, you know, first of all, when people talk, you don't talk about people's looks. But honestly, I look at Valerie Jarrett and I look at Roseanne Barr and I say, who looks better? In my mind, easily Valerie Jarrett looks better. And yet she's talking like she's ugly. And I'm thinking, why don't you look in the mirror at yourself? You're not so beautiful yourself. What kind of a silly thing is that for a woman to say about another woman publicly? It's ridiculous.
I think
the
idea about Roseanne is she looks like a regular person. You know, she's not really unattractive and she's kind of heavy and just kind of average looking. And that she, and John Goodman the same, that they that the family, the TV family, the Connors, are just regular people.
Yes.
And they didn't try to be something that they weren't. They tried to be like your next door neighbors. And in some ways they were, and in some ways they weren't. But I don't think we've heard the end of the story. I would tend to agree that there will be a show without Roseanne, possibly focusing on Jackie and Darlene, but we shall see. Just when I think I've figured something out, it changes. So I'm not really going to predict much, but I don't think that we've seen the last of the other characters. We'll close the show, Ron.
Look, one thing is a few hundred people lost their jobs because of that show being canceled. That's the real shame, that her mouth caused the loss of people's incomes and people we don't know about, the people behind the scenes that make the show work. And that's really sad. It's very tragic.
Of course, anybody on the show knows that working with Roseanne will include controversy. But this went beyond controversy. This was an abrupt cancellation of a show that was getting some very high ratings. And myself, I was a fan of the show, and I was upset I couldn't watch it last Tuesday. Anyway, we'll close the show by talking about a story related to President Bill Clinton, Ron, that you probably heard about.
Yes.
Related to the Monica Lewinsky incident, and he told NBC News that he didn't have to apologize to her.
I disagree. I think he should apologize to her directly, even if it's 20 years later. I really think he should, but he's not going to do it, and I don't think it makes him look very good. I think it makes him look, it reminds people of the disgrace that he brought to the presidency with his scandals that took away over a year of time that we could have accomplished a lot of things. It undermines his reputation, I think.
So, Ron, you think the right thing to do is to admit that he made a mistake. I mean, he did lie. And apologize and get on with it. And it's a shame. The economy was very good during the Clinton administration, and I was certainly a fan of his presidency. I voted for him twice, and yes, I voted for his wife, as I've talked about many times. I think we kind of need to put this to bed. No pun intended. Normally, I put puns. Normally I intend to make puns, but this is one of the rare cases where I say put it to bed, and no pun intended. Sorry for the PG-rated comment, but, you know, it's live radio. Things come out, and I do apologize, but that's how it goes.
Yeah, well, I want to point out that Bill Clinton did apologize in a public statement to everybody. He did make a statement. He reminded us of that. But I think, honestly, I know it's not going to happen. There should be a public event where she shows up and he shows up and he, in front of everybody nationally, says, "I'm really sorry for what I did to you." He really should, and I think that would make him a better person if he did. But I want to point out this issue you brought up about the economy was good. That's one thing that worries me. Yes, the economy was good, as it is now under Trump, and I don't want to compare, but as it was under Hitler in the 1930s and other people, and I'm not saying they're all at the same level, but the fact is the economy should not be a reason to overlook the faults of a person, particularly in a democracy. It is not something to say, well, the economy is going to leave Trump alone, or the economy is going to leave Bill Clinton alone. I thought he should have resigned, and you know, he brought that up this past weekend, that you know, there were those who thought he should have resigned, but he thinks he did the right thing, and I think he should have resigned and let Al Gore become president. And I think Donald Trump should resign and let Mike Pence become president. But it's, you know, they have too much pride and they don't care. They egos in different ways, but they both have egos where they both don't look very good, although obviously Clinton looks better than Trump. But I just think, you know, this economy argument is not an answer, because the economy is not the only thing that should matter.
Well, Monica Lewinsky has one thing in common with Donald Trump. She tweets. She's now 44. Now 44 years old, and you might have seen this tweet, Ron, from yesterday at 12:34 p.m. Monica Lewinsky, grateful to the myriad people who have helped me evolve plus gain perspective in the past 20 years. So you and I would be in agreement, Ron, that Bill Clinton will never make the kind of apology that he should for this incident, and we'll never really get closure on it.
And I think he would look better in history if he did. He would actually improve his reputation if he would do that. But he doesn't see it. He's got too much of an ego. Of course, every leader does, where he cannot see himself apologizing directly to her, where we can see it, not just, you know, through a statement, but to actually do it. But I think it'd be very much the right thing to do.
Yeah, I would agree, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I guess Clinton remains...
Any more than Donald Trump admitting any faults. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, Clinton remains a bit of an enigma, like so many politicians. But again, we may find ourselves talking a few months down the road, and what happens will be different than what is happening currently. That's all part of the fun of talk radio. Just when you think you've figured things out and can predict things correctly, a curve is thrown. Well, thanks again, Ron, for being with us on a fine-er mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor.
Thank you so much again. I had a good time.
Stimulating discussion. Again, we open up the dialogue, the cake baking issue, Bill Clinton, and has he apologized sufficiently? Roseanne and other celebrities that must understand
the Canada
that,
issue. We have about Canada also.
Right.
Yeah.
They're accountable for what they say, and they must follow the law, just like everybody else. Our strained relations with Canada, and can or cannot the Donald pardon himself, and we're saying that he can't, but we shall see. Thanks, Ron, for being with us today. A great discussion, all kinds of topics. Be sure to visit his blog at theprogressiveprofessor.com to read about the articles that we've discussed today. He writes a new one every single day. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
Thanks so much, Adam.